Yeah. words are not enough.
Come on.
We love you, Lord. We bless you. We give you our praise and our honor. We glorify you. We sing hallelujah to the Lamb, the worthy Lamb of God, the Lamb that was slain and rose again, the Lamb that shed his blood, that we might be redeemed and we might be set free, that we might be forgiven. Lord Jesus, we love you and praise you. We thank you for the great salvation you purchased us. We thank you for how good, kind, and faithful you've been to us. We give you praise. We give you glory. And we pray, Lord, please speak to our hearts this morning. Give us a word that'll change our lives. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. We praise you again and again and again, for you are worthy. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lord. And God's people said, God bless you. You may be seated. It's so good to see everybody. God bless you. God bless you. Take a look at y'all. Amen. What a good looking group. Amen. That's all right. You can clap for yourself. Someone got it. Amen. Go ahead. Praise the Lord. Praise God. God is so good to us, is he not? Amen. Children, you are dismissed to children's church. Sister Amy is ready to go. Amen. She's got something good prepared for you. Hey, buddy. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, if you go to John, the second chapter, we're continuing what we began last week. This is a two-part message. It's lessons from Jesus' first miracle. Lessons from Jesus' first miracle. And, of course, it's the wedding at Cana and Jesus turning water into wine. He likes to turn people into new creatures, does he not? He likes to turn messes into heroes and those that are downcast into more than conquerors. And let's read this and dig through it. I believe the Lord just wants to encourage us and teach us. The Bible says, John 2 and verse 1, on the third day a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Now Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had been invited to the wedding. And when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They've got no more wine." He said, "Dear woman, why do you involve me? My time has not yet come." Verse 5, Mary said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do." And nearby there stood six stone water jars, the kind the Jews would use for their ceremonial washing. Each one held about 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he said, Jesus told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water, they knew. Servants get in on what God's doing. Amen? And it's an exciting place to be. Then he called the bridegroom aside, and the master said, "Listen, everyone brings out the choice wine first and the cheaper wine after everyone's had their fill of drink, but you have saved the best till now." Amen. You know, if you're a Christian, the best is yet to come. Isn't that good news? Amen. It won't get any worse. The best is yet to come. Amen. Verse 11, this, the first of the miraculous signs Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee, he thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. We pray, Father, speak to our hearts this morning. So many lessons from your miracles, Lord Jesus. Take us beyond just being moved by the sensation and teach us the lessons and the principles that we might know you better and that we might walk in them. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, you see, this is the first of Jesus' miraculous signs. Interesting. Now, a sign is something that points beyond itself. John refers to Jesus' miracles as signs. And again, that word emphasizes the significance of the action rather than the marvel of the action. He's emphasizing the meaning and the message of the miracles, not just the wow, you see. What is this miracle saying to us? What is this sign showing us? More than just the sensation, but what is the sermon of the miracle? I mean, some people just, they never learn. They just get the wow of experience. But they never see what the Lord is trying to teach them through that or show them through that. So again, we're breaking this down to 4 points. Number one, last week, the invitation. Number two, the instruction. Number three, the participation. And finally, number four, the transformation. Last week, we touched on, number one, the invitation of Jesus. And we noted in verse 2, it said Jesus and his disciples had been invited. If you want him to bless your home, you need to invite him to your home. Amen? And when we stressed a few things, but we stressed that, number one, Jesus' first miracle took place not in the cathedral, not in the temple, not among the great crowds, but his first miracle took place in a home. Jesus cares about your home. He cares about your family. And we found out, secondly, through this story, that Jesus honored marriage by his presence. By just showing up and gracing the ceremony, Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, honored marriage. God ordained marriage. Number three, we learned that you and I need to invite him and honor him in our homes. We learned that by, again, Jesus gracing the ceremony and the celebration with his presence, Jesus was putting heaven's seal of approval upon the sacred institution of marriage. What is heaven's approved, divinely approved marriage? One man, one woman, till death do you. And what God has put together, let no man put asunder. We're encouraged to invite Jesus into our homes and marriages. But friend, he desires to bless our families with his presence and meet our needs with his power. So let's honor the Lord and let's reverence his word in our homes, that his blessing might flow freely in our lives, and God's people said. And secondly, we looked at the instruction of Mary, and we gleaned that from verse 5. You see, no wine would have been a very embarrassing moment for that family. We explained that. It was a social disgrace. In fact, you could be arrested for something like that. It was such a sin against their culture. But Mary had an answer for the problem. And friend, we got an answer for your problem, if you're willing to hear it. And Mary's answer in verse 5, and I just like the way the old King James says it, very simply, whatever he says unto you, do it. I mean, we got an answer. I got an answer for your problem. Get to Jesus, and whatever he tells you to do, do it. But I don't want to do it. Then you're on your own. He's not the shepherd of rebels. But if you'll come to him and obey him, he'll work wonders in your life. He's worked wonders in our lives, hasn't he? Mary's answer is the heart of true Christianity, which is obedience to Christ. And we studied that. We looked at some words of Jesus, John 14 and verse 15, where Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey what I command. He says, the proof of your love for me will be in your obedience to doing what I tell you to do. For true Christianity must involve more than just an inward commitment to the Lord. There's also an outward obedience to the Lord. That's the proof of the inward belief. You receive in your heart, then you live it out with your life. Can you say amen? Amen. Last week we said, number one, Jesus enjoys our celebrations. Invite him, make him an honored guest in your marriage and in your home. But secondly, Jesus helps with our frustrations. Obey him. What he tells you to do, do it. Amen. Stop shooting yourself in the foot and just do what he tells you to do, and so he can flow and bless you. And now number three, not only does he enjoy our celebrations, helps our frustrations, Jesus expects our participations. Number three, the participation or lessons from the servant's obedience. We'll focus on verses 7, 8, and 9 for a while now. You know, Jesus could have just spoken a word, and everyone's cup, everyone's jug at that party in the Tower County could have been filled. Isn't that right? I mean, all Jesus had to do was speak a word, and the containers would have been filled with new wine. In fact, spiritually speaking, today if you're here and you're feeling a little weary, a little dry, a little thirsty, he'll fill your cup. Spiritually speaking, he'll fill your soul. Spiritually speaking, he'll revive and refresh you. He still does that. Friend, that's why we open these altars after every service. That's why if you're struggling, don't run home and just go through the same mess. Spend some time with God. People are willing to pray with you till no one is here. They'll pray you through. If you're weary, don't leave weary. If you're hurting, don't leave hurting. If you're facing a battle, come and get prayer so you can face it with courage. Can you say amen? Jesus Christ is still satisfying the weary, the frustrated, and the dry and thirsty. So we say it again. Jesus could have just spoke a word. Everyone's cup and their neighbor's could have been filled with the best wine. But instead, now this is what we got to get with God. Instead, Jesus went through a process that involved the servants. I mean, he spoke the world into order. You think he could have spoke some new wine for a wedding feast? And so instead, Jesus instructs the servants to fill the empty jars and then draw some out and then take it to the master of the feast. And somewhere in the process, the water became wine, the very best wine. When God does it, it's good. Amen. And we learn here that God is still pleased and God is still desiring to use human instruments, human instrumentality to perform his works and his wonders. This is how God operates. Amen. See, that's why, friend, your involvement and your obedience is so important. It's so important. You see, this miracle presents a very practical lesson in Christian service. The water turns into wine as the servants cooperated with Jesus and obeyed his commands. Again, this is Jesus' first miracle. This is his first sign. And he's telling us that you are important to the plan of God. Tell your neighbor, you are important to the plan of God. You got to know that. You got to know God's got a role for you. God's got a place for you. Somebody needs you. You're supposed to be somebody's answer to prayer. You have an important part in the plan of God. God's got a plan and he's got a purpose for you. So if you fail to walk with God and do what God wants you to do, somebody's getting ripped off. You wake up tomorrow and your right arm decides, I'm going to take a day off. I'm tired. I'm going to go fishing for 2 weeks. And it's going to be tough going to work, isn't it? It's going to be tough trying to carry on your function, isn't it? Just because one selfish part of the body decides, I don't want to work with the others. I'll say it again. You have a part in the plan of God. You're important to the plan of God. God's got lives for you to touch. God's got testimonies for you to tell. God's got people for you to love. God's got hope for you to give. Come on, say amen to that. God's giving you gifts other people don't have. God's going to send you places other people don't go. You used to say back home with everyone that worked in the factories, most of the time your preacher's not going to walk through that factory, but you're there every day. You're a missionary there every day. You walk there every day full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Word of God. Can you say amen to that? This is about the lesson of our participation, the lesson we get from these servants. No name servants. Love that. No name. They're not in the book of Hebrews 11, but how Jesus uses them to perform his first miracle. It's amazing when you think about that. Being a servant of the Lord is an honor and a privilege. We get to be part of what God is doing in the earth. We get to be his vehicle of expression. The vessel he expresses himself through. The instrument he speaks through, he touches through, he loves through. We get to be his partner to advance his kingdom, to express his love, to release his power, to accomplish his desire. I'm going to say it again. You are important to the plan of God. We'll pause and give special thanks to all faithful workers here at Pleasant Grove, and there are so many. There's greeters and there's groundskeepers. There's praise team, the musicians and prayer warriors. There's teachers of every flavor. There's ushers and there's sound and there's media. And there's all these various children and youth workers from Sunday school to the children's church. Oh, man, there's the nursery. Thank God for the nursery. Office workers, visitation, hospitality, those that prepare meals, those that serve meals, those that drive people, those all. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Can you give yourself to God bless you? We thank the Lord. You don't get nothing done with people that don't do anything. You need faithful people. Amen. And I don't know about you. I think it's exciting to be part of what God is doing in the earth. When those servants woke up that morning, they had no idea how the Lord was going to use their faithfulness. And neither do you. That should get it exciting to get up. It's exciting to be a sold out Christian, is it not? It's exciting to know this is the day the Lord has made. Amen. He's ordering my steps. He's going to ordain my conversation. He's going to let me be a blessing to someone. And whatever comes my way, he's going to use me as his ambassador. In our story, an ordinary task became an extraordinary blessing. Because they did what they could and Jesus did the rest. They were responsible for the possible. God took care of the impossible. You see, you don't know how God is using and what God is doing through your efforts. You're teaching those little ones. You don't know what God, what's happening. I used to get tickled every time. Poor Sister Opal, I was a poor, she's more blessed than I am. She in the mid-90s finally went to be with Jesus. From the moment I met her, she said, I want God to take me home. I said, Sister Opal, that's not for us to decide. You know, those things, a little higher pay scale, get to choose those things. But I'd get amazed. We saw someone come in my age, some older, and they'd run over to her and give her a hug. I said, you know Sister Opal? No, Sister Opal. She was my Sunday. These young ladies are preaching the gospel all over the nations in the world, and they come back and give this old lady a hug saying, oh, she taught us. She loved us. We learned so much. My God. Oh, I'm trying to say, you don't know what God is doing through your efforts. It might just be four or five little girls, 7, 8 years old, but you're teaching them the Word of God. You're sharing them eternal truths. You don't know what God is doing through that visit to that shut-in. What he's, as you witness to your neighbor and your co-worker, you don't know what God is doing. I'll never forget in the factory one time between college seasons. I'm trying to work on one guy. And there was another guy. I didn't work on him too much. I thought he was beyond help, be honest with you. If I had to be honest with you. So I figured, I don't got faith for that knucklehead. He was out, man. He was out there, you know. And I'm working on a couple other guys. And out of nowhere, about 3 weeks later, the one I thought was beyond hope approached me. He says, I've been overhearing what you've been saying to these guys. And you know what? You got a Bible for me. My girlfriend and I, we're going to get married. And we think we need God. And oh, my Lord, he comes to me, and I didn't even think he could get in. Oh, Lord, help us. But you don't know what God is doing when you faithfully do something for Jesus. You don't know how God is working as you help mentor that new believer, as you help that widow, the orphan in their distress. Servants of the Lord, keep going. Keep serving, keep sacrificing, keep giving, keep loving, keep expecting, keep expecting, keep expecting. For your labor in the Lord is never in vain. But God is using. God is using. His word does not return void and empty. God is using your ordinary faithfulness to accomplish extraordinary eternal results. So you keep telling them and you keep loving them and you keep giving and you keep going. In fact, somebody get ready. I think God's going to surprise you. I pray that he's going to touch your common labor with some very uncommon blessing. That's how he works. That's how he works. You give him your bread and he'll multiply the loaves. You gather the vessels as he commands. He'll make that oil flow and flow and flow. Do your part and watch what God does in. Watch when God kicks in. Get involved in rebuilding that wall. Remember Nehemiah? That wall of God's city was down for 150 years. Nobody thought it would get up till one man said, I'm sick and tired of looking walls that should be shining and bright and strong being down. It's time to rip up the wall. It's time to rebuild that marriage. It's time to restore that family. It's time to step out and dare to believe God and have an expectation that if you'll do something, God will come and do more. If you'll do your part, God will do His. We learn from the servant's obedience. This is a Bible pattern. When you study your Bibles, you always take special note of the first time something happens. It's typically setting an eternal precedent. That's how you study your Bible. When you see something happen, the first time it happens, take special note of it. Typically, it's God revealing a pattern or a principle or a promise. The first miracle. He didn't just speak and there's water. Wine. He has servants, no-name servants involved. He works through the human instruments. He'll work through you if you let him. In fact, he wants to work through you. This is a pattern, though. Very often that we see as we read our Bibles, that before the miracle, there's an instruction or a command. This is how God chooses to work. Hey, faith is an action word. It's not a nod my head, I believe. It's an action word. I'm doing something. Peter, you got to cast out that net. Then the fish will be more than you can bring in. Moses, you got to raise that rod. Then that Red Sea will open. Layman, you got to rise up and walk. And if you try to walk, God's power will resurrect your lame limbs. Oh, General Naaman, you got to dip 7 times. And then you'll notice your cancer, your leprosy is gone. You know, for example, here in the book we're studying, the book of John, whether it's the feeding of the 5,000, you'll see that principle. The healing of the man born blind, you'll see that principle. The raising of Lazarus, same thing, you'll see that principle. Whether it's passing out bread, Jesus says, you've got a part to do. Whether it's washing away the mud, remember that? Jesus played in the mud. He made some spittle and some mud, and he slapped it on the blind man's eyes, and then he said, now go wash yourself. Can you imagine that? Jesus said, I'm demanding some partnership with you. I'm demanding that you do your part to receive your miracle. Might have to roll aside some stones. You would think anyone who's going to raise the dead with just a voice, with just a command, could move a stone. But that's not how it works, is it? He says, you do what you can do, and I'll do what you can't do. You want me to speak a word that resurrects that situation? You need to roll away the stones that you can roll and free me to work like I want to work. Somebody say amen to that. We have our part to do in the work of God. Before the power and blessing flows, the instruction, the command has to be obeyed. There's cooperation. There's participation. The power flowed. It's amazing that the command was obeyed with an excellent effort. I want you to notice that. It wasn't, they didn't roll their eyes. He hadn't done a miracle up until now. Something was working here, but they didn't roll their eyes. Sometimes God will speak to someone. Sometimes, lovingly, you can show someone what the Bible says, and they just roll their eyes. They didn't roll their eyes. They didn't just do it grudgingly. There was no half-hearted effort here. The Bible says they filled it to the brim. Jesus gives you a command, do it with all your heart. Do it right. Amen? If it's worth doing for Jesus, it's worth doing right. That makes sense? Then after they fill with water to the brim, then with a daring faith, and this is a daring faith, they brought it to the master of the feast. We know we just put water in there. I mean, I got a job. I got bills to pay, Jesus. Amen? You want me to do what? If this thing don't take, I'm in trouble. I need this gig, amen? And I know we just put water in there, and you want me to take the water, what am I supposed to do? They had a daring faith, didn't they? See, he's looking for our partnership and our cooperation. There's going to be some things God requires of you if you want to get back on your feet. There's going to be some things God requires of you if you want to go to the next level. There's going to be something God requires of you. You want that dream to become a rally, and you want to break through into a new day. Somebody say amen. Amen. With a daring faith,
They brought the water to the master. This is so beautiful. Note, they were partnering and experience and witness God's working up close and personal. I love what it says there in verse 9, the tail end. How the master of the banquet did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew it. You know, when you serve God, you get to see God work up front, man, up close and personal. It's awesome, is it not? The more you give of yourself to serve God, the more you'll see and experience and witness the power and the working of God. Up close, personal. What a privilege it is to be part. Partnering with God. Verse 9, what a privilege it is to be in on and personally experiencing the moving of the Spirit. Being a part of it. What a joy to see and witness God answer that prayer. God work through our efforts. God powerfully honoring the word that we spoke. 3 points here, 3 thoughts. Servants of the Lord, be encouraged by this. Number one, we've already stated, faithful servants of the Lord have the privilege of being used of God. That's an honor all by itself, but also experiencing up close the power and the working of God. The testimonies that come, the stories that come, The education that comes when you let God use you, you see God's power at work like other people don't see. Remember this now. Number one, servants of the Lord, number one, together we can accomplish much. Together we can accomplish much. Much power in united effort for the cause of Christ. There's an increase in power. There's an increase in ability when we work together for the cause of Christ. The challenge can be met and the task can be completed as everyone does their part. By ourselves, we might do a little, but together we can do a lot. Can you say amen to that? I heard a testimony recently. Now, it came through the, PG, Pleasant Grove, Grapevine. Through the Pleasant Grove Grapevine, I heard a testimony. And it blessed me to see how many people were involved in seeing God work powerfully. And I began to think, man, those that were involved in this got to see something that people don't always get to see. It went to my attention that one dear sister was witnessing or really talking to a neighbor. It sounds like he was a believer, but he went to a church that did not stress divine healing like we do. Did not emphasize the power of God today to heal like we do. But he was a believer. And he had a terrible disease, some kind of like a cancer, some death disease. And so she said, well, my church will pray for you. We believe God still heals today. Put it on the prayer line. Somebody on the prayer line had the God idea. I wouldn't say the bright idea, but really a God idea. Hey, through the prayer line, let's send an elder to anoint the person with oil. See if they don't mind to be anointed with oil. The call comes to the office. We need an elder to anoint with oil. I said, well, call Brother Gary. He's an elder in residence, one of the elders in residence. Send Brother Gary. Well, off he goes with a little oil bottle. Amen. So you got a bold enough neighbor that says, we still believe our God heals. We'll put you on our prayer line. Then we have someone with a God idea that says, hey, why don't we take a step of faith and send an elder to anoint him with oil and let's get beyond just the prayer line thing. And then we got an elder in residence ready. I'm ready. He's ready. I said, sure, why not? He goes with oil bottle. He prays the prayer of faith. A week or so later, that guy goes to the doctor. Doctor said the cancer that was there, not there. That tumor that was there, not there. My God, my God, my God. What a powerful, what a wonderful thing. Now the point is, look at how many people were all involved. Had one not done their thing, it all breaks down. And then how they that were involved, what a witness they saw. What an experience of seeing God honor his word and God answer a prayer. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
So we work together. We can accomplish a lot. We're broader because when we come together, we've got more gifts and talents represented. We're stronger because we've got more energy. You see what I mean? I read a story. I had to go 20 years ago. There was an old farmer out in Nebraska. True story. And there, the creek in his backyard was overflowing so much that his barn was like maybe 12 inches underwater. So he had a different type of barn raising party at the house.
And his son, you know, kind of welded some tubing and put some handles all around this barn. And they invited their friends, and they got about 300 friends. And now this barn weighed about 17,000 pounds, and they had to move it about 140 feet or so up an incline. After one practice, those 300 people were able, everyone didn't have to pull more than 50 pounds. They lifted the entire barn and walked it up that incline, 140 yards. Man, we can do a lot when we work together. Can you say amen to that? Wow. There's a lot of power when we pray together. There's a lot of power when we work and exercise our gifts together. So number one, servants of the Lord, let's remember that together we can do a lot. The oil flows and the power is released. Let's work together. Let's complement, not compete with one another. Can you say amen? But secondly, let's remember this, and I'm not too shy. I'm not too timid to say, listen, friend, Jesus is worthy of our sacrifice and our sincere effort. If anyone's worthy of our faithfulness, it's him. So number two, sacrifice. Can I be straight? Sacrifice will be required to see our Lord's work, his commission, done in the earth. Your sacrifice will make things possible. We have to be willing to spend and be spent for the cause of Christ. We have to be willing to go the extra mile for his will, for his heart, for his people. It'll demand courage. It'll demand compassion. It'll demand boldness, but it will demand a willingness. We cannot avoid it if we're going to do the will of God. But God won't forget it. You see, we talk about reaching a child, but listen, someone's got to bring that child. Then once the child gets here, someone's got to be ready to minister quality to that child. Isn't that right? And meanwhile, someone's praying that everything has the oil flowing to it. We want the gospel to go out to the world. Well, there's got to be a missionary that says, I'll go, I'll leave mom, I'll leave dad, I'll go to a funny country, I'll learn a funny language. I'll go. But someone's got to send them. Someone's got to give. Someone's got to pray. Someone's got to support. It takes a little various components to get the work done. And each one has to learn that it is okay to sacrifice for the cause of Christ. It's almost like we've allowed it to get twisted. What can God do for me? God's asking, what can you do for him? Number three, together we can accomplish a lot. Sacrifice will be required. Number three, the reward will be great. And it'll be eternal. I think Sister Opal, she spent this last bunch of years at Solaris. I'll tell you what, she's living better than Solaris now. I'll tell you that. Oh, man, she's got some reward going for her now. Amen. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Isn't that right? A lot of things are in vain. I've done a lot of things on this earth that's in vain. Amen. It's just a waste. But I'll tell you what's done for Jesus. Note number one, we should all serve and all have been given gifts and opportunities. We should all serve. If you're a Christian, we should all serve. And we've all been given, everyone, gifts and opportunities. You've got gifts that no one else has like you. You have opportunities that no one will have but you. You can touch people I can never touch. You walk places I'll never walk. You've got giftings that I just don't have. We all need that. In fact, let's look, Ephesians 2 and 10. Let's talk about this. Ephesians, look at this. Now, we know the previous verse talks about how we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, so we can't boast. Amen. But then it goes on to say, once you're saved, once you receive Christ, putting your faith in Christ, you recognize the grace of God and you're a believer, then we are, the believer is, God's workmanship. What a beautiful way God describes you and I. God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Once you got into Christ Jesus, once you gave your heart to the Lord, that's what, created in Christ, you were created to do good works. God said, good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Before you were, God knew you. And God says, I've got gifts for your life, and I'm going to have opportunities for your life. So I have to recognize that if I'm going to partner with God, that God wants me to be involved in what he's doing, and God has given me gifts, and God will give me opportunities to bless many others in His name. Can you say amen? Amen. And when we do serve, when we do get involved, and we have a pure motivation and a sincere effort, it will, number one, it will bless others. Don't ever forget that. God will use you to be someone's answer to prayer. Don't ever forget that. God will honor your sincere efforts. He'll anoint with His Spirit your sincere efforts. He'll use you. God will bless others through you, and God will also bless you through your efforts. There's one thing about growing in Christ-likeness. There's certain measures and dimensions and depths of maturity in Christianity you will never get to if you're not serving someone else. You become a reservoir, amen? Just kind of, you got to give out for the flow to go. And there are certain dimensions of being like Jesus that you only get to by loving someone else, by putting someone else first, for sacrificing for someone else. There are certain depths of love that you'll never tap into if you're not loving someone else, if you're not setting aside your time schedule and putting someone else first. Jesus put us first, didn't He? He laid aside the glory and the royalty of heaven. He came down and put us first. And it'll be rewarded. The experience you get here and the reward you get there. It is so worth it. It is so worth it to get involved and be a participant with a pure heart. I'll show you two more verses. You know, on Wednesday nights, we do. If you don't come on Wednesday nights, we emphasize discipleship, and we take it up a notch. We challenge a little more. We're trying to make disciples, which are mature disciples. We try to go to the next notch. Sometimes Sunday morning, got to keep things at a certain level. But you know, if I was at a Wednesday night, I'd make a crack like this just about now. You know, every time, if you've had a recent funeral, I'm not picking on anyone. We do a lot of funerals here. But you know, we get to the funeral and well done, thy good and faithful servant. Amen. We like that one. That's a good one, isn't it? Yeah, I'm trying to watch what I'm trying to say here. I'll leave that alone. But you realize before you might hear that. I'm talking to Christians now. You're going to stand before Jesus, and He is going to examine what you've done for Him. He's going to test the quality. Isn't that right? I mean, you meet that girl, you didn't put zirconia on her finger, did you? I mean, he likes to live too long of that. I mean, you know, and people have been trying to give Jesus some zircon and some phony stuff, amen? And when you stand before Him, He's going to test the quality. What was our motivation? How was our effort? Now, if we're proven quality, there will be a reward. Can you imagine what God's rewards are like? Amen? Let's look at this. Go to the next one. Yeah, you know what it is. You know where we're going. Go to that next verse I have up there. Hallelujah. Here it is. 1 Corinthians 3:13 and 14. Talking about the servant of the Lord now. His work, her work, will be shown for what it is. Uh-oh. See, I can get up here and fake it and, you know, all this, but God knows if I prepared. God knows if I prayed. Isn't it right? His or her work will be shown what it is, because the day refers to the day believers stand before Jesus and he judges us for how we've lived. Not salvation, that's already done at the cross. Not salvation, that's a done deal. But now, how did we live after we got saved? His work, her work will be shown for what God will expose my effort and my excellence. If I want the reward, I want to hear well done. Amen? So if I want to hear that, I've got to make sure the effort and the excellence of how I lived is up to par. Amen? His work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test the quality of each man's work. Show up on time. Be prepared. Make sure you're living right. It's hard for God to anoint a vessel not living right. Amen? Sometime in spite of us, he'll bless the people because he wants to help the people. But sooner or later, God will call that into an account. Make sure we're right. Amen? Make sure we're prepared. Make sure we're doing our part not to hinder God from wanting to do his part. But now, verse 14, if we pass, okay? If what he or she has built survives the test, he or she will receive their reward. I want to receive my reward. Amen? Amen. So I've got to make sure as a servant of God, I'm giving him quality effort and quality motivation. Amen? So let's look at one more verse. One more verse. What do we got? Ephesians? I think we got one more. Because again, I'm going to be a partner. We're learning from these servants. Jesus' very first miracle, he could have just spoke. Boom. Instead, he used unnamed, just servants. Didn't use a prophet. Didn't use a priest. Just regular folks like you and I. Just blue collar, just serving other people. And he says, they're going to see how God works. They're going to see that God wants to use their lives. They're going to see God's just not keeping it all to the priest and the yuckety-yucks with their PhDs. God will use people that will obey him and follow him and let him use them. Isn't that amazing? Serving wholeheartedly is if you were serving the Lord, not men. So whatever you do it as if Jesus is going to show up. Whatever you do, you prepare as if Jesus is going to be sitting on that first row. Because you know, and I love this, you know, someone say, I know? Because you know that the Lord will reward everyone. For whatever good he does, whether he's a slave or a free, no matter you're this or you're that, if you're faithful and you serve with a pure heart and a quality effort, God will reward you. And I'll tell you what, that reward's worth more than anything this world could offer. The reward he has on that day will be worth much more than the petty old trophies that men fight over and lose their families over. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. We've talked about the invitation. We're learning from this miracle. Because miracles are more than something that just moves us to say, wow. The miracles of Jesus had a message teaching us his ways and how we can walk with this great God, how he works and how he functions. So we found out that, number one, the invitation that Jesus honors and wants to bless our homes, so we got to invite him. Amen? We've got to honor him in our homes. And we prayed for our families last week. And we offered our homes afresh last week. Say, Lord Jesus, be Lord of our home. If there's anything in our homes that doesn't belong, help us to get rid of it. Amen? Because we want your blessing in our homes. But then we talked about the instruction. Mary said, whatever he says unto you, do it. That's simple, isn't it? We believe in keeping it simple. We complicate things, but we can get back to simplicity. If he's telling you to do it, do it. If the word of God is instructing you to do it, then do it. Number three, we talked about the participation. And I don't know about you, but I was moved by, as I studied, how God used unnamed servants to perform his first miracle, Jesus' first miracle. And how he, instead of just sovereignly doing things, chooses to use us and requires our obedience to really minister the way he wants to. And finally, number four, the transformation. He reveals his glory, turns his water into wine. They say it's the best. And you know, the transformation, we recognize through this story the power of Jesus Christ, not only to change water into wine, but to change lives. That word again, sign, he's emphasizing. What is he saying through all this? What is this illustrated sermon? What is this miracle with a message saying? For us, number one, let's never forget the story of the water and the wine. It's a moving picture of conversion, of my conversion, of your conversion. Like Jesus turned water into wine, he still turns sinners into saints. Can you say amen? Because salvation is a supernatural act. to be born again, to become a new creature. That's a supernatural act. You don't work that up. You don't achieve that. That's something that happens when you give your life to Christ and His Spirit comes within you and makes you brand new. Your salvation was more of a miracle than just turning water into wine. In the same way Jesus brings fullness where there's emptiness in human lives, Jesus brings satisfaction where there's frustration through sin and humanity. We can learn from this story how the world's joy runs out. But the joy Jesus gives is ever new and satisfying. When Jesus comes into life, it gets better. Can I close with some words from Dr. Erwin Lutzer? Dr. Lutzer was a longtime pastor of Moody Memorial Church in Chicago. I've been retired for a couple of years now. Let me just quote from Dr. Lutzer, talking about this story. He says, if you're not a Christian, if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, enjoy the short time, the short window of time you have, for it will never get better, just eternally worse. Non-Christian, quoting Dr. Lutzer, it's not worth it. All the denial in the world won't change it. The end is coming, and for you, it'll just get worse. Now, for those who know Christ, for those that have given their hearts to Jesus, this is as bad as it'll ever get. Sometimes we must drink the bitter cup here, but this side of eternity is quickly running out. And His grace is going to keep you through it as you lean on Him. So believer, let's keep reminding ourselves and thinking of St. Paul's words from Romans 8 and 18 as we live this life. Romans 8 and 18, where Paul says, I consider our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Paul says, when I put the thing on the scale, what Jesus has for us, the reward that awaits the righteous and the faithful, man, you can't compare anything on this earth. So if you're a believer, you keep trusting, you keep believing. God's grace will keep you. What God has, the best is yet to come. If you're not a believer, hurry up and become one. But things will just get worse. But they don't have to get worse. Again, I like to say at the funerals that I do, I say, listen, you can't avoid death, but you can prepare for death. You can't run from death, but you can get ready for it by receiving Christ and making sure your sins are forgiven and making sure things are right with you and your God. Wow. Remember the message, Christian. The best is yet to come. So don't lose heart. Fix your eyes on the eternal, because you're closer now than when you first began. Lesson from Jesus' first miracle. All right? Invitation. Make sure you're inviting Him into your home. Start out by inviting Him into your heart. Invite Him into your home. Invite Him into your marriage. The instruction, obey Him. Is there something you need to start obeying that you're not obeying? Is there something you're reading, something He's speaking, and you're not acting on it? Do it. Do it. The participation. Have you found your place of service? Have you realized that He didn't just save you so you can mark off time to go to heaven? He saved you to use you. And He's given you gifts and graces and opportunities. God orders our steps. He orders conversations. He makes things happen so we can use your life. Let God use you. Let God use you. So I don't know what to say. That's all right. Just tell them about how good Jesus is. Tell them how God loves them. You don't need to be a scholar for this. Amen? Just tell them the Lord is good. He'll take care of the rest. The transformation. He still turns sinners into saints. He's still transforming lives completely. Have you given Him your life? And let Him transform it. We're going to close with some prayer. Number one, if you're here today and you're not sure about where things stand with you and the Lord, please take this opportunity to come and let someone pray with you so you can leave with the surety things are right between you and God. that you have been born again, that you have received forgiveness and salvation that only comes through Jesus. But secondly, if you're here today and you just say, Lord, I need some refreshing. I need some comfort. Getting a little weary. I wouldn't mind if Jesus filled my cup afresh. He'll do that for you if you wait on him. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew. He'll renew their strength. So why don't you stand with me? We're going to pray our final prayer. And then we're going to open the altar and sing. And again, if you're here today and you would like prayer, you're invited. If you're here today and you would just like to come and pray, please do so. I want you to know the Lord loves you and he wants to touch you. But there's always that human part of our response to the call of the Spirit, to the knock of the Spirit. God will use you, but you got to step out and let him use you. God will refresh you, but you got to draw near and say, Lord, I'm feeling dry and empty. Fill me. We pray, Father, in Jesus' name, bless the efforts of your people. Lord, there are so many here that faithfully serve you day after day. So many that witness to others on the job, in the neighborhood, in the family. They witness, Lord. So many that are people of prayer. They pray for others. They stand in the gap. So many, the Lord, that just do good work, expressing care and love for others that are in need. Father, in the name of Jesus, may the efforts of your dear ones bear much fruit. As they do their part, Father, sovereignly bless their efforts. Allow your faithful ones to see up close and personally your power working through their lives, your Spirit moving upon their efforts. And Father, we pray at this altar. Father, in the name of Jesus, let your mighty power flow at this altar. Let there be healings. Let there be refreshings. Let there be great comfort come upon those that are weary. Father, in the name of Jesus, let an increased measure of your power flow and minister mightily to your people as they draw near and they call on your name. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, let's worship the Lord. If you need prayer,